Is this the first time we played this song in the history of the download? Beats by Zim right at the end. There's a fascinating story in Chicago Magazine. And it's about, it's from our buddy Jack Silverstein, Chicago historian. This is for the June issue, but it's about the 20th anniversary of the 98 Bulls. Jack, of course, a longtime regular contributor to the download. He's been on talking about the Bulls and talking about sports, and we've talked about the first three-peat and a little bit about the second three-peat. But this week being the 20th anniversary of that famed series win, championship in 1998, the 97-98 Bulls. Of course, Jack is a historian and author of How the GOAT Was Built, Six Life Lessons from the 96 Chicago Bulls. And we're talking about the 98 Bulls tonight. Jack, thanks for joining us, bud.
My gosh, thanks for having me, and thanks for having me on this historic night for the download.
Historic. Well, I mean, the historic night is 20 years since the Chicago Bulls.
20 years ago.
It's amazing to think about Game 6, of course, and I call it the push-off game, even though I do that just to stir up the memories. Just to get us up to speed, this...
You just stir up trouble? Is that
yeah,
what you're
I think that's it's just a way for me to stir up trouble. But the of course, the Bulls beat the Utah Jazz. That amazing article in Chicago Magazine, just breaking down what was happening with this team at the end of this run. Talk about how much went into it, when it's the fatigue, and how much Jordan was playing, and what they said in different articles. A tremendous achievement to put this article together. But it really did show how much was at stake for the Chicago Bulls in this series.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, there have been instances in NBA history where you knew someone was going to retire. They knew that Bill Russell, for example, in 1969 was playing his final game, but it was just one guy, and he was 13th season, and he was retiring. There is nothing in NBA history, and I can't think of anything in sports history, where you had such a dominant team, they're playing for a championship, but at the same time, everybody knows that there is a very good chance that this team will be completely broken down and dismantled. Basically, I was at the final Bears game at Soldier Field, the playoff game against the Eagles, and it was like after they lost that game, everyone knew that the stadium was about to be torn down.
Right.
And that was what it felt like in 98, with the exception of obviously that the Bulls won. But it was like you're watching this team, you're wrapped up in the moment, you want them to win the championship, and at the same time, you're like, I can't believe that this is probably it. Phil Jackson was on the record that day of saying, yeah, that's it. I mean, he was like, I've already cleaned out my office. Jerry Krause wouldn't give a straight answer about who's he going to bring back. He was just like, well, there's just a lot that has to happen over the summer. We have to look at the draft, and then there might be a lockout. And it's like, man, he's not even faking it. Like that's where they were.
Well, I thinking back to my own memories of that time, and I think a lot of people listening are doing the same. You remember kind of being psyched out a little bit because the year before there was question because Jordan was a free agent. He got that $40+ million contract, and Pippen was talking about retiring or moving on. Jackson, we weren't sure if he was coming back. Rodman, we already had gone through this dance the year before, so we weren't even sure if this was real or what was happening. There was just a lot of cloudiness around the future of the Bulls.
Yeah, so at the end of 96, Jordan's contract expired. Phil's contract expired, and that set off this year-by-year experience because Scottie's contract wasn't up until 98. And Dennis came up also after 97. Michael, Scott, and Phil signed one-year deals. Michael told Spike Lee that he was 30 minutes away in the summer of 96 from signing with the Knicks if the Bulls hadn't come correct. So after each year, they were re-signing all these guys. But the big key was that after 98, Scotty was a free agent as well. So after 97, remember Steve Kerr hit the shot to beat the Jazz in 97. And then the next play when Utah had the ball, Tony was guarding the inbounder. they threw in, and Scotty dove, and this incredible defensive play. He dives on the floor, knocks away the ball, bats it over to Kukoc. Kukoc grabs it and dunks it. That's actually the final points of 97, not Steve Kerr's shot. And 11 days later, the Bulls tried to trade Pippen to the Celtics for a package of draft picks. And then this became more of a discussion, I don't know, like last year when Tracy McGrady was going into the Hall of Fame and he and Scotty do TV together. And Tracy was the guy who Jerry Krause really wanted to get. Jordan and Phil squashed that. And that was right around the time when Jerry Krause started wooing Tim Floyd from Iowa State. Yeah. And another weird piece that people... Another weird piece that people kind of forget. After 98, after the 98 title, Phil left. So he didn't have a contract. Jordan wasn't under contract. Pippen wasn't under contract. Dennis wasn't under contract. And then there were, let's see, there were 10 players total, I think, whose contracts had expired. It was bizarre. So they hired Tim Floyd as director of basketball operations prior to actually saying whether or not Phil was going to be back.
What a way to do this. I mean, it's funny to think about because Gar Forman and John Paxson kind of did the same thing with Hoiberg. We saw that a little bit where they seemed to already know who they were interested in beforehand. All right, here's what we'll do, Jack. Let's take a quick break so we stay on time tonight and continue the conversation because I want to also go through where are they now, the players of the 98 Bulls. But as much of this is the 20th anniversary of the Bulls winning the 98 season and their sixth championship, it's also a 20th anniversary of Tim Floyd and the continuing decisions that were made with this organization up to this point in the draft coming up next week. Jack Silverstein, sports historian and author on the line tonight as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Bulls' victory over the Utah Jazz in 1998. We'll take a quick break. Stay with us. Emotional about the last download, but there's no emotion that even comes close, right? And that doesn't even come close to hearing this song when Jordan and the Bulls were playing. They still play this song, Jack, right, at the United Center?
I've
seen versions of it, but yeah, if they're gonna use this singing, now Robin Lopez, you're like, yeah, okay, it's not as strong when they get to the Dennis Rodman. Yeah, Jack Silverstein, sports historian and author of How the Goat Was Built: Six Life Lessons from the '96 Chicago Bulls. Tonight, the 20th anniversary of the final Chicago Bulls championship of the six-peat, if you will, six in three parts, two parts, three different times. One thing I wanted to add, we're going back and forth on email. I love this. Casey Johnson did a little bit of this as well, but it also has to do with where these players are now. I mean, we kind of know with Jordan, of course, is the owner of the Charlotte Hornets. Scottie Pippen, I see him on the jump on ESPN all the time. It's kind of fun, but I'm also like, Scottie, come on. I always want them to make a bigger deal that they have Scottie Pippen on that program. They'll have a bunch of different stars.
It should be a much bigger deal.
Yeah, right? Dennis Rodman, we just saw in the news this week in North Korea. But let's get to some of the other guys. Let's start with Ron Harper. Where's Ron Harper?
Ron Harper is just sort of heavy on social media. I haven't been able to find anything specific about him, but he is all over. He tweets, he Instagrams. He's just kind of around the game.
Yeah, maybe he should go to North Korea next time. He's such a prolific social media guy. Luke Longley.
Luke Longley is living a low-key life in Australia. He was doing some coaching. There was a nice feature written about him in the ring in the past 6 months, and he's just taking it very low key.
Okay. Of course, we see this next player a little bit. My biggest claim to fame, you know, we all have our stories about, and I'd love to hear yours, 312-981-7200. Your interaction with the 98 Bulls, they were celebrities before there was social media. You'd always see Jordan, stories of Jordan rolling into clubs downtown, and Pippen and Rodman, of course, with his famed hanging out the Crowbar, things like that. But I got to see Tony Kukoc at 900 North Michigan one time, where I was going in because I think I had an eye doctor or some lens crafter in there. And he was in there with his sweatpants. Like, I think he lived in the building, but he was with his lady. It was a classic move, man, to see Tony out of outfit. But I'll never forget that. Tony Kukoc, where's Tony?
Yeah, he is a special advisor to Michael Reinsdorf. He's held this position since 2015. It's like an ambassador role. Pippen had the same title, and Pippen's still in an ambassador role and doing ESPN. So we know that the Bulls are very loyal. You noted right before we went to the break that there is still some repercussions from the Tim Floyd days, and I want all Bulls fans to take note that on August 1st of this year, Gar Forman celebrates his 20th anniversary in the Chicago Bulls organization. He was a Tim Floyd hire who came over from Iowa State.
Wow.
So they're very loyal. Tony is in the organization. Horace Grant is in the organization. BJ Armstrong was previously in the organization. Bill Wennington is currently announcing he's been in the organization. John Paxson has been in the organization since he was acquired from the Spurs in 1985. He's been a player, an announcer, an assistant coach, an announcer, and then in the front office since 2003.
Right, about the announcing, right. Steve Kerr, we know because, he just won another championship with the
Won another championship,
Warriors.
Yeah.
You just mentioned Bill Wennington, who we know has been an announcer in Chicago for a while, but he's changing roles in some form? He's still going to announce, but I'm just saying that he's also now, you say he's ambassador of some sort.
No, I don't believe that's. I would have to double check that, but no, I believe he's just an announcer. Doing a great job.
Let's get to some of the ones we really want to know about. Judd Bushler. Where's Bushler?
Judd Bushler. Yeah, so Judd Bushler just last week moved over to Knicks staff. He was an assistant coach with the Lakers, and he just joined the Knicks staff on June 7th, so he'll be going over with David Frizzell's staff.
Judd, in charge of the men. Yeah, I was going to say, in charge of the big men? Is that what you said?
It is, oh, yeah. I know, but that's what he's doing with those volleyball hops. Randy Brown, we know,
Randy, where's Randy?
Coach of the Bulls. Randy's an assistant coach of the Bulls. Some would say controversially so. Scott Burrell, who played just that one season with the Bulls in 98. He was, yeah. He is the head basketball coach at Southern Connecticut.
Okay. All right. And then Dickie Simpkins.
Dickie Simpkins. So in 98, there was some question about who would get the 12th postseason roster spot. Because remember, it used to just be 12, and then the other guys were just IR. They were just left off the roster. So it ended up being Dickie, and he is an analyst for FS1. He recently celebrated a birthday on April 7th, and his Twitter account shows him doing some karaoke.
The players that are no longer with the team, I was thinking about the
Who else we got? Oh, no. So we had three guys who were on we had three guys who weren't on the playoff roster but are on the championship banner. Well, they were on the team. Keith Booth was a rookie, and he is an assistant coach at Loyola of Maryland.
Okay.
Busty LaRue was also a rookie. He did some coaching and is now COO of Dario Restaurants, COO as of March 18th, but was working for the company for a while. They specialize in hot dogs. And you might remember Joe Klein, the center who earned the nickname Taco Joe, when he hit some free throws to put the Bulls up 100 points to win the home crowd free tacos.
Always a crowd
Taco
favorite.
Taco Joe. Always a crowd favorite. Taco Joe is co-owner of Corky's Ribs and Barbecue with 8 locations in 3 states. And he is located in Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right, there you go. The guy I was thinking about was Bison DeLay, right? Wasn't he the name, and he died in a mysterious way, didn't he? Like on a boat or something? But he was on the 98 Bulls, wasn't he? It's a big.
He was on the 97 Bulls.
Was he? He was gone by then. He had such an impact on that team. He was good for the time they had.
Yeah, so they had some injuries. Bill Wennington went out for the season late in the year. Dennis was missing some time. And they signed Brian Williams, and he came in at the end of the year, and he played really well. they knew that they were not going to be able to keep him because of salary reasons. He went, he signed a huge deal with the Pistons,
right,
and he played well, and then he changed his name, and then he retired, and he took up a life of the sea, and he died mysteriously at sea, but it's been definitively proven, but it is assumed that he was murdered at sea by his brother, who then died like 8 days later.
Yeah, I remember that Dateline story. That was terrible.
Yeah.
But that's why you're the historian, man, giving us all the Bulls facts. You know, like for, obviously, with the LeBron James, Michael Jordan debate, and of course now the Golden State Warriors and the Chicago Bulls, from your vantage point, obviously you're Homer, you're a guy here in Chicago, but as a historian, do the Chicago Bulls hold up when it comes to this conversation of winning six times in the 90s with teams like the Lakers in the 80s and the Celtics and, of course, the Golden State Warriors now?
Well, I mean, the ultimate is the Celtics of Russell,
yeah, right,
and Red Auerbach. And you're going to hear a lot of people say, oh, there were fewer teams. Well, yeah, there were fewer teams, so the Celtics had a lot of great players, but all of their opponents had a lot of great players. The Celtics, I mean, Bill Russell won 11 titles in 13 years.
That's amazing.
The last two of which he was player coach. He won two college titles and a gold medal. So I don't want to hear anything about Bill Russell. Yeah, of course the Bulls hold up. Absolutely. I mean, they're just generational teams, and we haven't seen one like the Bulls. I think that Magic and Kareem's Lakers fit that bill, and the 60s Celtics. But this Warriors team has a chance to do that. I think that every team that wins at least two in a row, by the third season, they tend to start to drag a little bit. Even if they three-peat, you start to see some chips, whether it's age or injuries or egos. And the Warriors are just still on cruise control. I mean, we haven't heard any bad vibes coming out of that organization, from the owners to the coaches to the players. Everybody's on board, and I'm very curious to see how that will play out in the coming years, especially as guys' contracts come up and those young guys, well, not young, but Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson are on very favorable contracts.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm curious to see how that plays out, but they are just a wonderful team, and I feel like you can draw a direct line from those Knicks teams of the 70s that Phil played on to the second three-peat Bulls, and then obviously that team included Steve Kerr and go straight to this mm-hmm. Warrior. So I love that team. I think that all the conversation about did Durant, you know, wimp his way into rings and who's better and GOAT and all this. I mean, really the story is that this Warriors team won 73 games, lost finals, and immediately got on the phone, called up the best available player, and went and met with him and sold him on this idea that he would come to a team where he was arguably going to be the best player and that they wanted him to be a part of what they're doing.
Story.
It's amazing.
The Chicago sports historian and author of How the GOAT Was Built, Six Life Lessons from the 1996 Chicago Bulls, Jack Silverstein, on the line with us, talking about tonight being the 20th anniversary of the last time the Bulls won a championship. Hopefully, we will see a Bulls championship sometime.
Another one of these days. Yeah, right.
Jack, great to talk to you. Thanks for being my guest tonight. Appreciate it.
Gosh, thanks so much for having me. And what a night for the download. All the best to you guys.
Thanks.